study. We are still in Matthew chapter 24. We want just to connect up and carry on from where we concluded our last study. Matthew chapter 24. Let us read verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, inasmuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. They shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us the reading of these verses. Now we brought you on in our previous studies right up to the part where there was something to see and then there was a time to flee. Now, following that then, we look from verse 21 at some of the tribulation features. That is, the trials and troubles of this particular period of time that was predicted by the Lord will be the greatest that humanity has ever experienced, almost beyond description. There will be a time of great fear, that is, because of the mass destruction of human life. There is the fear that all flesh shall be destroyed and the human race will become extinct. Now, at the beginning of the 20th century, people reading the Bible would have a hard job, as it were, coming to grips with such an idea. After all, even during World War I and World War II, there was a tremendous loss of life. Yes, thousands of people lost their lives. Some lost their homes. Some lost their reason. Some lost all that they possessed in this world. There was a great loss. But remember this. Even after cities could be bombed all night, from 9 o'clock at night to 5 o'clock in the morning, the bombs being rained down upon them, yet people went about their work the next day. And there was such a thing as recovery from these things. nations that came right down to nothing, so to speak, nations that were levelled to their knees, brought down in humility, these nations were able to rise again above the holocaust of these wars. Some nations had civil wars, yet they got over it. In spite of all that happened, and at the end of World War II, we were introduced to a new era of time called the Atomic Age. At that time, men had gone so far as to be able to produce a little bomb that, if dropped on a city, could destroy a whole city. One bomb. That now is in the past, years have passed. At the present time, the great nations have armaments built up to such an extent. Yes, if these were let go without control, it is possible that the human race could be blotted out. We've reached that stage where we realize now that there could be such trials, tribulations come upon this earth, that man seems to have the capacity to destroy himself, one nation going against the other. So therefore you can see why the Lord says there will be a time of great fear, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world. The world has had its trials, there have been troubles, there have been tribulations, but nothing compared to this one that is still future, the tribulation, the great one. The Bible distinctly says that there was nothing has been like it since the beginning of the world to the present time, no nor ever shall be. It will be the greatest, there will be nothing like it. But now look, while it's a time of great fear because of the mass destruction of human life, there is the fear that all flesh shall be destroyed and the human race will become extinct. There's one thing, my friend, you'll have to remember. God is still in control. He is in control even of the things that He permits. He'll control them. And just look, He said, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. We made reference in a past study to that covenant that will be set up for 7 years. That is, after the church has been removed, there will be a great political leader who will make a covenant with Israel for 7 years. It's obvious from a study of the Word of God that that great political leader will not be from Russia, but will be from amongst the Western nations, from what some Bible students like to refer to as the revived Roman Empire. We're not going into the details of that just now, but I'm one of those that believes that we can see coming events casting their shadows before them, and we see the foundation laid now for the development of such a revived empire. You have the common market in Europe. You have NATO. You have your World Council of Churches. So you have the political, the military, the economic, and the religious, all ready now to amalgamate for that revived Roman Empire. But now, that being so, remember this, there will be the 7 years, but it's in the midst of the 7 years that the abomination of desolation was to be set up in the holy place. Now, while during the 7 years there may be tribulation with difficulties, nevertheless, it's in the midst of that that there is introduced the great tribulation. And it's the last 3.5 years of the 7 that will be the time of the great tribulation. And so, unless except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. You see, the whole thing is this, that during that time, there will be a tremendous holocaust let loose on this earth. You only require to go to chapter 6 of the book of Revelation, and there you discover exactly some of the things that will happen on this earth. There you have the opening of the seven seals. And at the time of the opening of those seals, there is trial after trial coming upon this earth. At the opening of the first seal, you have a man riding on a white horse, indicating that he pretends to be a man of peace. He'll come forth conquering and to conquer, that is, he shall conquer peacefully. But then, right following that, there is the rider on the red horse, and he will take peace from the earth, so that they should kill one another. There was given unto him a great sword, there would be war. And it's when they're going to say peace and safety, then cometh sudden destruction. So there will be a time of peace, but it will only be a short-lived thing. Then peace is taken and there comes war. Then following that, there will be the black horse and the rider on the black horse. He will come with the balances in his hand, and at that time there will be a great famine, for famine usually follows war. Then there's the opening of the fourth seal, and at that time there's the rider on the pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over, now watch this very carefully now, over the fourth part of the earth. The fourth part, to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. In plain words, a quarter of the population of the world shall then be destroyed. Later on, again, under the sounding of the trumpets, you'll discover again that there will be war and destruction. And a third of the people will be destroyed there. So if you have a quarter of the people destroyed under the sixth seal, and then you have a third of what's left destroyed under the trumpets, you're taking away, as it were, a half of the population of the world. And that's not the end. There's more after that. You can see why it should be said, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. So therefore, there will be a time of great fear. It will also be a time of great falsehoods. There will be many deceivers going to and fro upon the earth. There will be false Christs with their false prophets, deceiving many people. Now, if someone was to come to me today and tell me that he was Christ, I certainly would not believe him. Some years ago, in a certain great city, there was a man announced that he was going to speak to the people in a large auditorium, and he was going to prove that he was the Messiah, he was the Christ who had come back to earth. Some people were interested, and they lined up on the streets, waiting for the doors to open to go in and get a seat in this large auditorium. And while the people were standing lined up on the streets, round the corner there came a Salvation Army band. And as the band came up the street, they were playing that old familiar hymn, "I shall know him, I shall know him, by the print of the nails in his hand. Oh, yes, my friend, if anyone came to me now and said, I'm the Christ, I would be apt to say to him, show me your hands. Do you remember Thomas said, I will not believe except I see the nail print in his hand and the spear wound in his side. And that night in the upper room, the Lord showed him his hands and his side. And Thomas fell down and said, my Lord and my God. But there shall arise many false Christs. And they'll say, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets. We've a lot of false prophets in the world today. I'm not deceived by them, my friend. No matter what a man says, you can take it and test it by the Word of God. If it fits in with the Holy Scriptures, then what he teaches is right. If what he teaches is wrong and does not correspond with the Word of God, then you reject it. A lot of people today are being deceived by people telling of their experiences. Now, I'm not concerned with what kind of an experience a man has had. If his experience fits in with the Word of God, then it was right. If his experience does not fit in with the teaching of the Word of God, then his experience has got to be rejected. It's no message for me. So therefore, there shall arise false Christs. Again, let me view this from another angle. When you think of Christ, you think of the Messiah. There's a nation today that's waiting for the Messiah, or should I say, some of that nation. Let me make this perfectly clear. It may be that some are listening to my voice today who claim to be Jews. And they may say, well, I'm not waiting for a personal Messiah. Now, I know that. There's a lot of Jews today who are not interested in the religious side. And they're not looking for a personal Messiah. They're taken up with the Zionist movement. And what they want is Palestine for their people. And they want more of it than what they've got now. And they want to develop Palestine. All right. We're not arguing with that at the present time. What I'm saying is this, that these people are not religious. And they're not looking for a coming personal Messiah. Their interest is only in the material thing and in the political thing, but not in the religious side. But over against that, you have another group of them who are very religious. And they want to carry on with their religious functions. But even at that, they're what we would call liberal in their thinking. And even they do not believe in a coming personal Messiah. All they're interested in is the setting up of a new state of Israel with religious freedom. And they want the temple. Perfectly true. They're religious. But on the other hand, there are some genuine people in the nation of Israel, yes, who are looking for a literal coming of their Messiah. That is, they interpret the Old Testament in a literal way, and they believe that he shall come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be, and they are waiting for their Messiah to come. So therefore, if they're waiting for the Messiah, these are the people who can be deceived. For some will say, well, he's here. Another will say, I'm the Christ. And they'll have their false prophets. And their false prophets will say, yes, this is the man. You and I have got to be careful. However, I would not be in the least deceived by any man telling me that he is the Christ. And I would not be deceived by any man telling me that he is a prophet and can point out the Christ. False Christs and false prophets. Great falsehoods. And these men will be able to show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. I wonder how many people today have been deceived by people professing to be able to perform miracles. And they're saying, there's a miracle, it must be right. He must be a man of God. The Bible distinctly warns us, my friend, against these things. He says, behold, I have told you before. Let me try and summarize some of these things as I have pointed them out in this chapter now. First of all, he says, let them which be in Judea Now, it's obvious this is written to those who are in Judea, and the instructions here are for them. Then it also says, you have to pray that your flight be not in the winter nor on the Sabbath day. It's obvious this is written to those who would keep the Sabbath day. Then again, it says there will be false Christs, false messiahs, and false prophets. Now, it should be obvious that these things, along with verse 15, speaking of the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, it's obvious that these things are written for the remnant of Israel. That being so, then, the tribulation will come upon them. There will be great tribulation. A time of great fear, you can understand that. A time of great falsehood, for they're willing for somebody to come and deliver them. And wherever a man says he is the Messiah, he will get a following. Now he says, if they say he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. Put those two things together and relate them back to what has been recorded concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember, before he entered out into his public ministry, he spent 40 days in the desert or in the wilderness, there being tempted of the evil one. Here then is an imitation of that. On the second point, the secret chamber. Has he gone into the secret chamber? That is the place of prayer, the place of communion. You see then how that they will be deceived by these very things. But that leads us up to the terminal fact. The tribulation shall last for a given time, but then there will be the terminal fact of the great tribulation. It will come suddenly, for as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now remember, the Lord here is answering the questions that were asked him by his disciples, when they're saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the consummation of the age? He's told them the things that shall come to pass first. Then he brings them up to this terminal point, and he tells them what shall be the sign of his coming. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west. That suddenly, isn't it? There's the suddenness of his coming. Now remember, the title that's used here again is the coming of the Son of Man. I want to remind you, you never find this title, Son of Man, in connection with the Lord Jesus Christ and his relationship to his church. The title, the Son of Man, relates him to earth and in a particular way to his righteous judgment. And so at this point, when he's coming, it's at the end of the great tribulation. The church, I believe, has been raptured before the tribulation, but it's not mentioned in Matthew 24, because this is not dealing with the church. This is dealing with the remnant of Israel and their relationship to the Lord. So there will be the suddenness of his coming. But then, after the coming of the Son of Man, which is the sign that they were asking for, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened. This will be the greatest blackout of all time. There shall be the sun being darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaking. There is the shaking of the heavens. So there will be events on earth and events in the heavens. And when you have the suddenness like a lightning flash, and the shaking of the heavens with the darkening of the sun and the moon and the stars being shaken, then at that moment there is the sign of his appearing. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. This corresponds with what we have in Zechariah chapter 14, at the time when he shall come with all his saints, and his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives. That's the time when he comes as the deliverer of the remnant of his people, and they that shall endure unto the end shall be saved.